tried to call her, but...
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord, people. We're going to stand and sing for our final hymn tonight. Please open up to... ...66. And don't forget, following service tonight, prayer meeting will be held at Rita's house. And if you don't know why, I'll explain. I'll explain after service.
I don't know that you followed that. Rita said there really isn't enough room for...
It's her apartment. My house is fine.
We're not going to stay.
Yeah.
We're just going to pray over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Rita meant for the whole church.
Oh, no, no. It's whoever is able to follow us.
Well, my grandson don't want it. Don't want to vote.
Oh.
They feel that they're afraid.
Oh, no, that's no problem. They got a long drive the opposite way.
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't expect them to come. you guys are fine. Yeah, it's only for whoever can make it, Val. Okay, hymn 66. And we're going to sing all four.
I hope we got that figured out right. Probably ain't got
it. These guys will have it down to a science before you know it. Praise the Lord, folks. Please be seated. Oh, great singing for a Wednesday night. And we're so thankful the Lord brought Val and company home safely from their vacay. How was it, sis?
Oh, good. It was the best vacation
we had. Oh, nice. We were all praying for you.
It was so good. And we went to the, on the way home, we went and stopped at the restaurant there, Twin Mountains, Monroe.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful because right there on the breakfast menu, the first thing on the right-hand corner is John 14:6.
Oh, John 14. Praise the Lord for that, sister.
And they had the scriptures there, and you know, Christians, and so gave them a card of yours on the website, and left the card at the hotel, of course.
Praise the Lord.
It was beautiful. And they had the track in the restaurant for people to. Unbelievable. It was just beautiful. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. That's a great testimony, sister. And they were on vacation, but not from Jesus. Amen? When you go on vacation, you don't go on vacation from the Lord. You take them with you. Glory to God for that. Psalms 119, once again, as we continue our Wednesday night studies and our exposition of Psalm 119. We'll cover another 8 verses tonight. That'd be verse 17 through 24. Now tonight, church, we come to the Hebrew letter Gimel, the section of Gimel. Look with me. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. David writes, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that accursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Let's pray, beloved. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these incredible verses tonight. And oh God, as we approach thy holy word, we're so grateful that we behold such wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, it's so rich. It's so full. It's so glorious and divine. And oh Lord, there is buried treasure in it throughout. And I'm so thankful that by your Holy Spirit, we're able to dig up those treasures. We're able to glean them. And we're able to apply them to our lives. And Father, we just ask that you would bless by your Holy Spirit this incredible portion of Holy Writ tonight to our hearts, to our souls, to our minds. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Well, praise the Lord as we come to our third section of the Psalm. Keep in mind that every single verse here begins with the Hebrew letter Gimel. This made for easy memorization, church. No doubt, many a Jew of the old order could recite all 176 verses accurately of this psalm by using the Hebrew alphabet as reminders. So too, church, the KJV, the King James Bible, makes for easy memorization due to the old Elizabethan English. Amen? You know, every language has what they call a high point, a pinnacle, where it reaches a climax, and then that language begins to deteriorate over time. Well, we've seen that in the English language. I mean, man, the way they talk today, you don't even know what language they're speaking half the time. And they're rapping and they're talking, you know, this jumbo, jingo, crazy nonsense. Well, I like the old English. Amen. I'm old-fashioned and I'm so thankful for an old-fashioned church. But the King James Bible has easy memorization. It's easy to memorize than any other perversion. I mean version. Now, let's observe a few things tonight from our text. First, notice and observe David's acknowledgement of his continued life to God's pure mercy. his acknowledgement of his continued life due to God's mercy. Look at verse 17. David writes, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live." Now, beloved, listen carefully. It was God's mere goodness that gave us our being. And it is only God's mercy and goodness that allows us to keep on living. Amen? You're alive tonight, and you're in God's house tonight because he's given you breath to be here. And I love how Job put it. He said, "In whose hand is the breath of every living creature?" My breath is in his hand. You know what that makes me do? That makes me honor him. That makes me fear him. That makes me worship him. Now, go to Psalm 13. This is an incredible statement that David makes. In Psalm 13, look with me at verse 3. Psalm 13, verse 3. David says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Notice in verse 3 and verse 4, David says, "Lord, preserve my life." I got some enemies that want to take it away. Yeah, Saul and his ugly bunch. And then, of course, Absalom and his ugly horde. They wanted to kill the king. And the Lord preserved him. Amen? Sometimes in a cave of Adullam, and sometimes in the wilderness. But the Lord preserved his life. And that's what he's praying for here. Look at verse 3. "Lest I sleep the sleep of death." Listen. There's only one being in the universe that can prevent us from sleeping the sleep of death. And that is our Maker. Amen? He gave us our being, and he continues our being of existence to this moment. Okay, when he closes his hand on our life, we die. It's up to him. It's not up to the doctor. Oh, no, no. It's not up to the hospital. It's up to the Lord, the living God. Lamentations. Flip over to Lamentations just after Jeremiah. Lamentations is a powerful little book. It's also prophetic. But look in chapter 3 of Lamentations. Absolutely incredible statement by Solomon, by Jeremiah here, the prophet. He writes, now, Lamentations is a book of lamenting. Why? Because Jeremiah had preached 52 chapters to God's people to repent of their idolatry, lest Nebuchadnezzar come, and they wouldn't do it. Now they're in captivity in Babylon. And Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations with a weeping heart. He was called the weeping prophet, you know. Look at verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." We could stop right there, amen? It's just exactly what David says. "Deal bountifully and mercifully with thy servant, O Lord," in Psalm 119, verse 17. See it? "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." 25. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." God is so good to us, folks. I could go on and on tonight about how good and wonderful and loving and kind our God is to us. He's so good to us. We're so blessed. Amen. We are so blessed. He continues our life, our being of existence, because he deals bountifully with us. Secondly tonight, notice the reason why David desired to live longer. Verse 17. Back to us, text in Psalm 119, verse 17. Why did he desire longer life? "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Oh, it's getting good now. David says, there's one reason why I want to live any longer than I do, and it's to obey my God. It's to walk with him. It's to please put a smile on his face. Amen. Oh, I love this. Let me ask you a question tonight, church. What is your greatest desire for living? What is your purpose in life? What really gets you excited? What really makes you tick? What really gives you joy? Is it obeying God? David was so that David wanted to live so that he could obey God's word further. Somebody read us verse 16.
I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Ah, it was David's delight to keep his word, his statutes, and not to forget it. I love that. Someone read verse 67.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word.
Now, this is a powerful verse on chastisement right there. David had gone astray, as we all know. But you know what God did? He chastened him. He let the hammer down on his head, and he felt it hard. He suffered because of his sin. But look what the result was. Verse 67. But now have I kept thy word. You know, sometimes the Lord's got to knock us upside the head to wake us up. Get us on the right track. Keep us in his word. Amen. And in his will. Verse 101. Somebody read verse 101.
I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word.
Aha! Notice the will involved in verse 101. You have to exercise your free will, beloved. Obedience doesn't happen automatically. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. See that? Go to verse 105. Somebody read us 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Ooh, I like it. David says, I'm walking in the way of God's word because his word is guiding me. It's shining light on the way I should walk. I'm not turning to the right hand or to the left. I'm walking according to the light of his word. I love that. Thirdly tonight, back to Psalm 119, verse 18. Notice David's prayer for spiritual illumination. Verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Ooh, I like it. It's a prayer for spiritual illumination. Folks, this is something that you and I need to do all the time, is pray. Lord, show me glorious truths in your word. Reveal the deeper truths of the meat of the word to me, Lord. You pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to things you've never seen in that book before. And beloved, no man has arrived. We're all still learning. As long as we're in this body of flesh, we need further light in his word. Amen? It's called illumination. Now, first of all, beloved, notice what God's word contains. Two things about this verse. Notice first what it contains. Verse 18, wondrous things. I give you a spiritual smorgasbord. Amen? Right here. There it is. You've got such wondrous things in that book that you could live 1,000 years and never exhaust the truths of that book. I mean, if I had 1,000 years to preach, and I will during the millennium, I would not exhaust every text of that book. Because even if I preach every single verse from cover to cover, go back and start over again, and you'll have 1,000 new messages. Amen? It's wondrous things in his word. Yes, indeed, church, this book is divine. It is not of this world. It's extraterrestrial. It's of another world. Amen? Listen, its origin is heaven. It is the word of God, not of the Pope. Go to Psalm 12. I'm sure glad of that. Making a big hunky-dory festival out of it down in Washington today. And man, we got something so much better. We've got the living God. We don't need any man to worship. We worship the living God. Look at Psalm 12. Look at verse 6. The words of who?
Of the Lord.
The Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Don't you know the King James Bible was the 7th translation? Pure, God's number of perfection? Oh yeah. In other words, there were 7 languages it was translated into before it came English. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Folks, listen to me. You hold in your lap tonight an eternal entity, the word of God. It liveth and abideth forever. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be ripped up. It cannot be defeated. It lives forever, verse 7 says. Now, go to Psalm 19. Something even better. In Psalm 19, oh, there's wondrous things. Wondrous things in this book. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. You know there's something perfect in this world? And it's not you, and it's not me. It's the Bible. It's perfect. I have no patience for these guys to get behind a pulpit and they're preaching the NIV and the KEY and the MOUSE. I mean, it's ridiculous. Alphabet soup with these perversions, perverted Bibles. I've got a perfect book from a perfect God. Amen? Look at it. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. Why? Look what it does. Converting the soul. This book will save your soul. Look at it. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. There's that illumination. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It's so sweet. Moreover, by them, the words of God, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Folks, you're not spinning your wheels in church tonight. You're not wasting your time. You're not beating the air, Paul said. You have an everlasting inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Amen? Oh, folks, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, neither doth thieves break through and steal. You will be greatly rewarded just for being in God's house tonight. Just for being faithful. That's what the Bible says. Secondly, in verse 18 of Psalm 119. Secondly, notice David's petition before God to see and behold these wondrous things. Verse 18. Open thou mine eyes. He's talking about his spiritual eyes. Amen. That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Out of thy law. Now, folks, in verse 18, notice that only God's Spirit can open the deep truths of Scripture to the child of God. The world knows nothing about what we speak tonight. But for you, born-again Christian, child of God, redeemed by the blood, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, there are treasures unmeasurable in this book for you to glean. Oh, I'm so thankful. You know, for this book, where would we be without this divine treasure of God's word? But, notice in verse 18, we must pray for this enlightenment. It doesn't happen by accident. Folks, you know what? Let me make a statement. The more you obey God, the more light he'll shine from his word into your soul and mind and heart. Hear what I said? Obedience brings the deep truths of God. Sin will quench the working of the Holy Spirit to enlighten your eyes, to show you these glorious truths. But obedience, sanctification, brings the light of this of his word. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for the believers at Ephesus. Watch what he prays for them. Same thing I pray for you. Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me at verse 16. Powerful passage. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, illuminated, that ye may know. Folks, there's certain things you and I need to know as God's children tonight. What? Know what? Know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Paul says, I pray for you that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened by God's Spirit. You will see things you never dreamt of from the Word of God. Oh, beloved, we need to pray for this illumination. But fourthly, in Psalm 119, observe David's desire for guidance. David's desire for divine guidance. Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. I told you a few Sunday sermons ago, I mentioned that we're aliens. They're waiting for the aliens to come. I tell them, we've already arrived. If you are born again, you are an alien in this world. This world is not your home. You're from outer space. Your world is far off in heaven above. Look at what David says, I am a stranger in the earth. That's why you don't fit in. They don't care for your company. You rub them the wrong way without even opening your mouth. Just carry that King James Bible. See how popular you get. Verse 19. Hide not thy commandments from me. Hide not thy commandments from me, Lord. Why? Because I'm a stranger in this place called earth. I'm an alien. I don't belong here. I need guidance. And I need guidance from thy commandments, thy word. Now, here, David confesses that he is not of this world, and therefore he needed heavenly guidance. So do you. So too are we, church, not of this world. And look at how we can be guided. Verse 19. How can we be guided? I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that this book will guide you all the way to the pearly gates and streets of gold. This book will not steer you wrong. In fact, this book will show you the way to live every moment of every day and night of your life on earth. Oh yeah, he shows us how by his word. I'm so thankful for that. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. The great hall of faith is Hebrews chapter 11. I told you, as we study through this book, this chapter of Psalms, you're going to grow to love God's word more and more. Trust me. In Hebrews chapter 11, look with me at verse 13. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having what? Seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. The promises of who? God, God's word. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. All of the Old Testament saints who loved God like you love God, they lived and died in faith in the living God and in his word. It says they confessed to the world that they didn't belong here, that they were strangers and pilgrims. You know what a pilgrim is? When the pilgrims came to America? A pilgrim, when you have your pilgrimage, you're just passing through a land. You're passing through. That's what a pilgrim does. But here, Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody not read Pilgrim's Progress? You haven't lived till you read Pilgrim's Progress. Number two seller in the history of the world, Pilgrim's Progress. And if you need a copy, I've got an extra copy at home. I'll bring it Sunday. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, I'll bring it. I got a few hands. I'll bring it Sunday. You can pass it around. Pilgrim's Progress has outsold every book in the history of the world except one, the KJV. Number one seller of all time right here, because it is the word of God. Number two seller of all time, Pilgrim's Progress. It's a world record. And that book, oh pilgrim, you know, Christian's going through his pilgrimage on earth, and he gets tied up in Vanity Fair. He gets tied up in Vanity Fair. And he makes it out of Vanity Fair, and he ends up in Doubting Castle. Oh, man, Doubting Castle. And guess who's the lord of Doubting Castle? Giant Despair. Giant Despair. And finally, Pilgrim gets to the point where he says, hey, I'm locked up in this Doubting Castle, but I've got a key in my bosom that will unlock any door. It's the key of faith. And he says, what am I doing in here? Despairing. Oh, great book. Oh, man. You'll never be the same once you read Pilgrim's Progress. But folks, you know what was written by? John Bunyan. You know where he was when he wrote it? In the Bedford prison. He was in jail for 11 years. What was his crime? Preaching the King James Bible. In the 1600s. He was preaching the King James Bible. And he was such a loudmouth Baptist preacher, they shut him up in jail. And he said, fine, I'll write some nice books. And boy, he gave us some good ones. And they said, we'll let you out today if you deny Jesus Christ and start preaching that Bible. And he says, if you let me out today, I'll preach Jesus Christ tomorrow. So they wouldn't let him out. But Pilgrim's Progress came out of there, man. Good stuff. Now, indeed, he confessed, John Bunyan, that he was a stranger and a pilgrim in this earth. He didn't belong here. Neither do you, child of God. Your home is up yonder. Something else, though. Fifthly, notice David's deep, heartfelt love for God's word. Verse 20. Psalm 119. Look at verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath under thy judgments at all times. I love this verse. David says, I long after, I desire something more than anything else in this world, the Word of God. You see it? Verse 20. Now, two things the psalmist informs us of here. First, that he had a true inner longing for God's Word. Look at verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath under thy judgments. Under thy judgments. That's another title for the Word of God. He longed passionately after this holy book. And this inner longing is always produced by the Holy Spirit in the soul. You know why you love this book? Because the Spirit of God is in you. This is His book. The Holy Spirit gave every word to the prophets. And because it is His word, He puts a longing for it inside you. He creates His own word. Amen. He gives you a desire. Secondly, in verse 20, notice that this longing was at all times. Look at that. Verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath under thy judgments. At all times. David says, it doesn't matter if it's day or night. It doesn't matter if it's cold or hot out. All the time I desire your word, Lord. Now, this desire within, folks, is not fabricated. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will never leave you or forsake you. He is sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen? Therefore, that desire that you have to the word of God, it doesn't go away. It doesn't ever weaken. Sixthly, notice David reveals the wretchedness of wicked people in verse 21. Verse 21, speaking to the Lord, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Now, two things are revealed here in verse 21 about the wicked. First of all, that they are full of pride. Look at that, verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the what?
Proud.
The proud. The proud. Those people who are full of pride. Job said that Leviathan, that is Satan, is king over all the children of pride. He's their leader. You know what Satan's sin was? Why he fell from heaven? Pride. Pride. The Bible clearly states that he became prideful and he fell. Because he wanted the worship. He was the choir director in heaven, leading the worship of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And one day he said, I want to be worshipped instead of Jesus Christ. That was his downfall. Pride. But secondly, notice that the wicked are cursed while they live. Verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. Cursed. Now, folks, David says here that those who are proud and reject God's words are doomed to eternal damnation. That's separation from God. If they die that way. Go to Psalm 37. Holding your place again. Psalm 37. Look with me at verse 22. David says, verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. That's the newer, not this one, the new one, which is eternal. And they that be cursed of him shall be what? Cut off. Gonzo. Forever. Separated from God and his people forever. How sad is that? They're cursed. Why? I'll tell you why. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 21 again. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. They hate that book. They go contrary to the word of God. And therefore they are a curse. Listen, John the Baptist said in John chapter 3 verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him. It's like walking around with a big sledgehammer over your head, ready to come down at any moment. That's how the wicked are. And one day it will come down. Go to Matthew 25, quickly. Matthew chapter 25. Here is a very sad verse, but true. In Matthew 25, we have the judgment of the nations. And look what the Lord, the King, says in Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he, the King of verse 40, also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye what? Cursed. into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Folks, do you realize that billions of human beings will be with the devil and his evil fallen angels forever in a lake of fire? That's what Jesus just said. Why? Why would there be such a horrific penalty imposed upon them? Verse 21 of Psalm 119. They do err from thy commandments. If you reject this book, the author of this book will reject you forever. That's what the Bible says, sadly. But why? Why are they cursed? They reject God's word. Seventhly, notice David's prayer for preservation of his character. Verse 22. David prays, Lord, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Now, in these two verses, beloved, you and I, do you realize that like David the king, you and I are being watched? We're being watched by that lost world out there. And they want to know if you really believe what you say in that book. They want to know if you really are a real Christian. Amen? So they're watching you. Why? Why are they watching you? So that they can gain some excuse not to get saved. I saw what she did. I saw what he did. Why should I become a Christian? See? That's why it's so important to maintain our integrity and our character. Now, they want to blacken your reputation. Then they'll have an excuse not to get saved. Notice the words in verse 22 and 23. Three words. Reproach, contempt, speak against. But notice two things that David declares. First, verse 22. He had kept God's ways. See that in verse 22? I have kept thy testimonies, Lord. Regardless of what they're saying about me, I have kept your testimonies. I have obeyed. Secondly, that he meditated on God's word. Verse 23. I meditated in thy statutes, Lord. Your word is my delight. It doesn't matter what they say. Now, look at verse 33. Somebody read us verse 33.
Prince also did sit and...
33, Rita.
Oh, 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end.
Yes, see, he's asking God to teach him his word in order that he can keep it. Not so that he can say, oh, I know what the 10 toes of Daniel mean, and I know what kind of wood they used on Noah's Ark. And no, it's so that you can obey that which he reveals to you. Somebody read us in verse 56.
This I had because I kept thy precepts.
David is maintaining his integrity here. Go to verse 69, someone. There's the proud again.
The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart.
Here, we have the same situation as verse 23. The wicked are lying about him. They're making up stories that aren't true about the king. What does he do? Oh, I'll get even with you. No. No, that's the flesh. What's David resolved to do? Look at it. But I, regardless of what the world is doing, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I'm just going to keep on obeying God and pleasing him. It doesn't matter what they say, as long as it's not true, right? Now, somebody read us verse 115, and then we'll move on. 115. Wow! Notice two groups of people in verse 115. Evildoers and righteous ones. Amen? David says, I don't want anything to do with those evildoers. They'll just bring me down. They'll just destroy my testimony. They'll just cause me to sin. But what I do want is to keep God's commandments. Verse 115. And notice whose commandments they are. Of my God. They're commandments of my God. That's why they're so important to me to keep. All right. Finally, observe David's counsel. Observe David's counsel. Psalm 119, look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. What? David said, David is the king of the elect nation Israel. He is the head honcho. He's numero uno. He's sitting on the throne of Israel. And he says, I need counselors. I need counselors. How much more do you and I? Amen. You and I need counselors too. And you know what, folks? I am so thankful that I've got all the counsel I need right here in this book. I have got a holy book full of counselors. It's every word, chapter, and verse. Amen? That's my counselors. The words of God. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day, he said, "Hey, preacher, you say you talk to God?" I said, yeah, I talk to him. He says, "When's the last time you talked to him?" I said, this morning. He said, "You talked to God this morning?" I said, yeah, I prayed. And he says, "When's the last time God talked to you?" And I said, "This morning." That would be this morning too. He said, "How'd he talk to you?" I said, "Right here in this holy word. Every time I open, he talks to me." He talks to me. Amen. And he talks to you. Why? He's our counselor. He is our counselor. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I love it. He delighted in God's counsel. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. In Proverbs chapter 24. I am so thankful for the counsel of God because it's right every time. You know who makes a fortune these days? Psychiatrists. Professional counselors. This one psychiatrist, I was reading this article, and the guy went to the shrink, and he said, "Oh man, I'm miserable. I hate my job. I'm going apart from my wife, and you know, the kids are misbehaving. I don't know what to do. I just want to kill myself." And the doctor told him, he said, "Have an affair." That was his counsel to the guy. Have an affair. It'll cheer you up. Yeah, it'll put your soul in hell too. But they don't care about that. No, you don't need that counselor. You don't need Dr. Phil or Oprah. Man, you need the counsel from this book. Amen? I am so thankful for this holy counsel. Proverbs 24. We'll get there. Look at verse 6. For by wise counsel. Wonder where I can find that. Thou shalt make thy war. How many of you knows tonight, beloved, you are in a war? So many Christians take this Christianity as, yeah, it's a nice hobby, you know. And I like hearing a syrupy sweet sermon from the pastor and all. No! We're at war with the powers of darkness. Look at it. It's verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors there is safety. Multitude of counselors, there is safety. Amen? The more counsel I get for this book, the more safe I am. And my family. Why? Because I'm taking holy counsel. Divine counsel that cannot fail. You know what, folks? Part of the problem in the world today is bad counsel. Bad counsel. It's amazing. Who was that, honey, the other night? They called a psychic hotline. Oh, my God. You don't want to call a psychic hotline for counsel, man. First of all, that's the dark side. That's the power of darkness. That's demonic. They can tell you things because they have demons. So be careful about that stuff. Astrology and soothsayers and psychic readers and tarot cards, that's of the devil. All of it's of the devil. Stay away from it and keep your counsel from God's holy word. And you'll be, look at the last word of verse 6. Safety. Spiritual safety. See? You step outside of the boundaries that God has established and you'll be in danger spiritually. All right, now, something else. Go to Isaiah 9, we'll finish up. Isaiah chapter 9. I am so thankful that I've got a counselor. In Isaiah chapter 9, we have a great prophecy of a great counselor that one day would be given to the world. Look at it. Isaiah 9, look at verse 6. For unto us, Israel, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. See, he was somebody else's son before he was given to Israel. This is Isaiah 9, verse 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. What's the next word? Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who he is, the Prince of Peace, my counselor. Ellie told me, our church secretary told me on the way to church, that yesterday some archbishop said that the Pope is the Prince of Peace.
Oh.
That's what they believe. I tell you who the Prince of Peace is. According to the counsel of God's Word, it's Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace, not the Pope, not any man. It's Jesus Christ. I'm getting excited tonight because I've got a great counselor. His name is Jesus Christ. Look at that. He's also the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for godly counsel. Lord, how we thank you tonight that we don't have to go to Shirley MacLaine and the occult and the New Age movement to get our counsel. We need to go to the Word of God on bended knee and ask for that spiritual enlightenment, that illumination that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we're so thankful that there's safety in the Lord, eternal safety. Lord, I'm so thankful for a church full of people here tonight that do not trust in the arm of flesh. They don't care about this papal visit. They don't care what's going on down there in Washington. They care about what you love and what you desire for their lives, Lord. And they take their counsel from you, O Lord God of Israel. We thank you for it tonight, and we thank you for Psalm 119. And Lord, as we progress and proceed verse by verse through this psalm, we are growing to love your word, your counsel, more and more and more. I'm so glad tonight, Lord, that we don't need a psychiatrist. We don't need some quote-unquote professional counselor. They're worthless. Lord, by the way, it's amazing that the highest rate of suicide is amongst psychologists in the world, professional counselors, because they don't have the answers. It drives them crazy, and they end up ending it. Lord, I'm so thankful that you have all the answers to life's problems that we may face. And all those answers are preserved for us in the Word of God. We love you tonight, Lord. And our delight, like David, is in thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals tonight. We will stand for a time of invitation. And let's open up to 126. We'll close with 126 because there is a fountain, oh, so rich and free, flowing from his side. First, second, and fourth, folks.
A fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's face, and sinners plunged in that flood lose all their guilty sins, lose all. Thy flowing wounds of love.
Yes, indeed it shall. Great singing tonight, church. And folks, anyone who is not able to go to Rita's, you can stay here and pray. That's fine. And those of you who are able, we'll make a caravan. We'll follow Rita. I'm going to ask Brother Dennis Sr. to dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, Sunday, we'll be here at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. And then the first Sunday of October, we'll be having the Lord's Table together in the evening service. And October 18th, mark down that date. October 18th, no morning service due to a Grange meeting. All right, Brother Dennis.
All right. Dear God, thank you for the sermon tonight. And thank you that the church is going over my mom's. And I think it will be awesome. Awesome. We hope for your blessings, dear God. In your name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to stay here and pray? Val?
No.
You want to stay here and pray? Okay. You're with us?
Well, I don't know that there's enough room.
You can ride with me.
No, I mean, I have plenty of room in the car. There's enough room in the car.